Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Barnacles with Jep and Devin. I'm Devin.
I'm Jep, and I brought my friend Sam on. How you doing, Sam?
Good, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So we did seasons 1 through 3, and we were just going in order. And then when we started jumping around, we thought maybe some guests will have some ideas about episodes to talk about, but every guest is like, oh, can we do the one when they play the Bubble Bowl? It's like, yeah, that's long been covered. So you actually, I think, are the first one that came on with an episode to talk about. So which one did you pick?
Well, I'm glad to be the exception so far, but I picked Atlantis Square Pantis because I remembered it as a kid, and I remember having it on DVD, and I remember it just being one of the best episodes of my childhood. For some reason, it's definitely not the best of my childhood. I remember loving it so much because it was just fun and it's different than what we normally got out of SpongeBob.
Yeah. It's like, did you watch it on the DVD that you had, or long gone? Or
No, I don't even know where that DVD is. Okay. I wish that I could watch it on that DVD because it had like bonus episodes with it.
Yeah.
And those were always fun to watch too.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode, yeah, it was a lot because my wife Sarah was in the room, and at some point she was like, wow, this is an episode. Like,
yeah, it's long.
Like, oh, I'm just gonna watch an episode of SpongeBob. Like, oh, this is like a singing and dancing full movie here. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to this episode for some reason, and it's like I said, like wildly different than any other episode of SpongeBob.
Yeah, because some of them we've talked about, like, have you seen the snail last week? That was a two-parter. I guess this is a four-parter because it's like an hour with commercials.
Full commercial breaks. It's crazy. Yeah. I had forgotten how like in-depth this episode was, like, because I knew it was a longer episode, but then when I turned it on and it was like 44 minutes, it's like, what do you mean 44 minutes? What? I didn't know this was that long. I should have planned more time.
Yeah. And it also has who I believe might be the biggest guest to ever be on SpongeBob in David Bowie.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Lord Royal Highness is played by David Bowie. Yeah.
And it might be the most musical episode that I remember, and yet he doesn't use David Bowie.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
That probably cost extra.
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely did. They were like, oh, we don't have the funds for this one. Just say your lines, David.
Say lines.
They charge $1 million just to show up. They're saying you're getting real money.
Yeah.
Different episode.
Man, I had even forgotten that they made a video game based on this episode.
I had the game on the Nintendo DS.
Wow. How was it?
Terrible.
Okay. I figured.
Like you couldn't even get past the first level. Granted, I was a dumb little 6-year-old, so I probably was just playing it wrong, but I remember the game being really, really bad.
Yeah, Devin, Sam's younger than we are. He was
six. Yes, I gathered that much. Especially because he said this was one of his favorites. I was like, he's younger. It's like because when Tommy was on for the mattress episode.
Yeah.
Right. When he was talking about, oh, yeah, this is a classic, I was like, okay, yeah, that's definitely a different generation. Because not to say that episode is bad by any means, but it hit different, you know?
Yeah.
Well, when I say one of my favorites, it's definitely top 10, but for sure, Pizza Delivery is the all-time favorite.
Okay. Yeah, that's like literally one of the first like 5 episodes. So yeah. That's
Those will never go away. Like season 1 just blows everything out of the water.
It's not just a boulder. It's a rock.
It's a rock.
It's a great meme.
Yeah. Oh man. So I know that we got to get this out of the way first, but there is a patchy scene that we still have. Yeah. Oh, man. There was a lot of patchy, and maybe more than any other episode.
I mean,
maybe too much patchy.
Good.
Like the first part where, like, the whole episode opens up with him driving on the freeway in Encino in a little boat.
And little cassette dinghy. Player. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a little dinghy.
Is that a rapper?
Little dinghy.
Hey, Lil Dink.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a rapper, Lil Dicky, so never mind.
Yeah.
Well, there's Lil Yachty.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Lil Yachty, maybe he has a smaller version of himself that he calls Lil Dingy.
Oh, man. That would be great.
That could work.
Lil Yachty.
But, like, I love that opening scene. He's, like, he pulls this tiny little chain off the ground, like it's his brake or something, and it's the smallest chain you can imagine, but it's so heavy.
Like a keychain, and then an entire anchor comes up.
Right. And then the way the guy in the car behind him looks at him, like...
Yeah, that had to have been somebody. I did not do enough research to look up and see who that was.
It definitely, felt like somebody.
Or at least the creators of SpongeBob knew who that was.
Had to be someone significant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked when he pulled out the bone phone and was talking.
Oh, my God.
Like, he definitely didn't call it a bone phone, but when I saw it, and then I was like, that's a bone phone. I couldn't not call it that.
Yeah.
Bone phone. What else are you using that for, Patchy?
This burner.
Oh, no. This burner. So then we get into the good stuff, the animated stuff. And
right.
So SpongeBob and Patrick.
You totally skipped what the tragedy that befell Patchy.
Oh, yeah.
That's integral to the story.
Thanks for dragging me back to it. No. also, Encino is gone. He sees just this blank desert in Encino, California. And has ceased to exist, apparently. No.
No.
It was giving like Planet of the Apes, like at the end, like the original.
Now, see, that's something that makes you sound young, is to say it's giving Planet of the Planet of the Apes is old, so it cancels out.
I mean, it just means I'm cultured.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's giving Fred Astaire. Like, is that a young person or an old person?
It's giving Marilyn Monroe. Happy birthday.
Yeah. So now can we talk about the animated part, Devin?
I guess if we have to move on from the amazing
work. It's a lot of the
episode,
so we got to get to it.
All right.
So SpongeBob and Patrick are in Jellyfish Fields blowing bubbles. And
classic.
Patrick takes a picture of it, but the bubbles keep popping, which I'm just thinking of it now as foreshadowing. But
yep.
Yeah. But he's taking the picture after they pop, so I guess that it's different than later. But he's frustrated that he keeps missing it. You know, the camera's not fast enough. And SpongeBob says, you know, it's not the camera's fault. It's not? No, it's the very nature of the bubble. It is? And then this is where we see that this is not going to be a normal episode, because SpongeBob burst out into song. He does sing in some normal episodes, like Fun. Fun song, but
right,
but yeah,
we'll
campfire song,
yeah,
to great effect in those other episodes. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I will say the first song in this episode is pretty good. It's pretty, I think it's up there. It's a pretty good one. The rest of the songs, though, I can't say the same for.
This is your favorite? Yeah, it might be. They keep the rhyming the same, like they're all day and souffle and here to stay. It doesn't seem here to stay, and SpongeBob wants to blow a bubble that will last all day.
There we go. Yeah.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Every bubble ever blown must someday pop. And isn't that just a metaphor for life, really?
That's good. It's existential.
SpongeBob will teach you so many things, gentlemen.
Am I going to die one day, Mom? No.
Oh, boy.
Whatever you
can. Oh, God.
No, you'll live forever in heaven.
Yeah. So SpongeBob blew a giant bubble that picks them up, and they're going to die. No, until they go into a cave, and it pops close to the ground on this half of a coin that's in there. And they're trying to figure out what does Antis mean? Square Pantis. You must wear the crest of
your ancestors.
Wear the crest of your ancestors, for it is your birthright.
It's
way too heavy to wear. But
he is such a huge leap that Patrick makes. Yeah. It is ginormous.
He's smart. Like he's stupid, but he's smart in a way.
I don't know.
He's wrong, smart. But
he's different. I mean, he's differently smart. Intelligent.
It was a good answer. It was wrong, but
what is that movie?
What's the line from Black Jeopardy? That's nice. It's wrong.
Oh, my mind went to that whatever movie with Adam Sandler, and I think it's like when he goes to elementary school.
Billy Madison.
There you go. And then there's a guy that was like, no, that was incorrect. That answer was so incorrect. Like he goes through this whole thing.
You're all stupider wrong. For having heard it. You received 0 points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
That's Patrick most of the time.
Yeah,
for sure.
So Mr. Krabs most of the time is doing what he's doing here, which is scamming old people out of their money. Just he charges admission on free Tuesday at the museum. And no, isn't today Tuesday? No, it's Monday. I wouldn't be wearing my I Hate Mondays shirt otherwise.
That has to be. No, it's illegal. It definitely is because he was worried about the cop. But that's so wrong. That is so wrong to take advantage of old people, really of anybody, but old people especially. That's Mr. Krabs. There's a special place in Davy Jones' locker for people like you.
Yeah, but you know what? I respect the hustle because he came prepared with the inflatable little stand.
Yeah.
Very creative on his part. And you know what? He put in the time, he put in the effort to get that inflatable stand and to scam that old woman of her money. He's prepared to wear the I Hate Monday shirt. And that
he spent more money on all these props than he made, you know.
No, he got them in a dumpster. Come on. He didn't spend money.
Okay.
Have you seen the dumpster dive episode? Come on.
Yeah. So he sees SpongeBob coming and he runs inside and Squidward's inside painting. I like how if you've seen any episode of SpongeBob, you know Mr. Krabs likes money, Squidward likes art, but because of this episode, they have to like reintroduce those things, like Sandy likes science. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Squidward's painting Neptune, and then SpongeBob and Patrick roll in and he sees the amulet of Atlantis, and at first he thinks they stole it until he goes to put it back and the other half is sitting there. He's just dumbfounded. Like, you found the other half of the Atlantean amulet? What's an Atlantean omelet? No.
That was a great line.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah. So
my question so far for this episode, by the way, sorry to interrupt, is the Krusty Krab just closed today? Because SpongeBob's not manning the kitchen. Squidward's not taking orders, and Mr. Krabs isn't making money. So what happened to the Krusty Krab that day? Are they doing renovations or something? Are they?
Yes, so it would be the perfect time for Plankton to go in and steal the formula. But
exactly.
That's a great point. I was about to say, well, it's probably Sunday, but no, we know it's Tuesday because the sign says it's Free Tuesday.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, maybe Free Tuesday is like a bikini bottom policy. So
and he's like, nope, not doing that. He'd rather close than be Free Tuesday.
We're losing me money, boyo.
Yeah.
He's not doing that.
Yeah. So Squidward's talking about how rich Atlantis is. And he's like, diamond light bulbs. I wonder what they make the money out of. And Squidward shows them this big painting diagram of Atlantis and all their inventions. And it's things like soup, underpants, and they have a bubble, and SpongeBob only cares about the bubble. It's the oldest living bubble ever. And Patrick's like, that's the most beautiful bubble I've ever seen. That's just a painting, you quarter wit. Quarter wit, because it's less than half.
I'll be honest, I might want to use that one. I like that one so much.
It was a good one. I thought about that both times that I watched the episode today. I'm like, oh, you want that? That's a good one, Squiddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love whenever he laughs at his jokes. Bad humor.
Because you can relate.
I do laugh at my own jokes. That's true. But you're the one that makes puns. So.
Yeah. Which everyone laughs at. They're amazing.
Yeah. No, I do like Patrick and Wet Painters and go, boo.
You do. Because you're a hater.
But anyways, so Sandy pops up just because it's time for the episode to use her.
Darn it, I laughed immediately.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. She wants to go for the science. They were a brilliant civilization. So we got art and money and science, and bubbles are the four motivations. And so Squidward connects the two, and a sky beam just appears, and their transportation to Atlantis descends, and it's a van with well, I like the red hot flames they got, or the hot rod flames they got on it. And then the coin goes to the front, and Sandy, I wrote this down. Well, holly wally ding dang do, would you take a gander, y'all? Yeah, you got to write down what all Sandy says, because
you're right.
It's something.
Holly wally ding dang do. That's I need to use that.
That's a southern expression if I've ever heard one. But did anyone notice when they like opened the van, the horrible CG that they used?
It is very CGI. Yeah,
very CGI. Like,
they didn't bother drawing it. They just used CGI for some reason, which
they easily
don't
could have drawn
again
it, yeah,
in the episode.
Well, I guess it was for an effect, like oh, this advanced technology that they never seen before, yeah, so making it stand out, yeah, instead of just making everything chrome, like they made it CG.
Everything's chrome in the future, yeah.
Future,
yeah. I am Spuntron. Yeah, are Spuntron's X, Y, and Z. Are the other letters of the alphabet involved? Yeah, all 486 of them. So who's driving this van, they ask. Well, this robot appears, and Squidward wants a foot rub, so it starts rubbing his feet, and they have it's so stupid, they have no fuel for forward motion, so then it cuts to them pushing the van to a gas station. that got me.
And then how do they get it going, Jeff?
Well, they don't use fossil fuels. They use song.
Yep.
So,
which would have been nice for the robot to tell them before they pushed the van, I don't know how far,
yeah,
to get to the gas station.
They pushed it to the gas station, and then that was completely unnecessary.
Not to mention that, so but he let Mr. Krabs look like a total idiot when he kept jamming the gas pump into the van.
Does this thing go? Yeah.
I guess he's only programmed to answer questions when they're asked, not just to offer information.
Yeah. Would have been helpful. But
Seems like flawed technology.
Yeah.
No wonder they got lost, as Squidward says.
They had to make some joke about Atlantis getting lost. Yeah.
So
SpongeBob sings, but it flies away, but through the gas station roof. Just, but Krabs, he's singing about money, and then we see Plankton is on board, and he's singing about how he wants weapons. So we got a little conflict here.
A little conflict.
Microscopic. And Sandy is singing about the scientific achievements that she could achieve, and she duplicates herself, where one of her has a giant forehead and the other has a wig on. Like, what was the point of that?
I think there were her two personalities. There's her, you know, the science super smart side, and then like her hot girl, you know, like something era. I was trying to use the word era, but I couldn't get it out fast enough because I don't speak that way. Even though I'm young and hip, like we already said.
Yeah. Yes. You use words like hip. Yeah.
But did you?
I ain't old like you.
I ain't old. Did you notice the scientists that she was singing in, like in her song?
No, remind me.
They were the weenies from Weenie Hut General. They were wearing lab coats and everything. They were in the lab. I was like, oh, I know those weenies.
Actually, they moved Weenie Hut Wednesday to Friday, and besides, today's Monday.
So it's Mega Weenie Monday.
Super Weenie Hut Juniors has a Mega Weenie Monday. Oh, we know these episodes too well.
It is the weenies. That's a great observation.
How'd you find that so quick?
Oh, I've got the episode playing in the background on mute.
Wow, are we keeping up on time? Like we're right on the
we are now. I was before we started, I was rewatching it and I was a little close to the end. Yeah. Is what I'll say. And so I just went back to the timeline and somehow got exactly to that point. It was pure luck.
Yeah.
Way to go. I don't know if we've ever had someone do that. Just like have the episode in the background while we're talking. That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah. I like to be prepared, especially because this is the first time I've watched this episode since I was like 10.
Well, it's been a while for us too, but yeah, that's nice. So Squidward, he's singing about how he wants to see the beauty of Atlantis. And then Patrick comes in to sing, "I'm Patrick, 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 Patrick. And I don't know what I like," which was very, have y'all seen that episode of The Office when they're all doing that like Shibuya rap. And then Kevin goes, "My name is Kevin. Yeah. And that's my name.
Roll call." "No, this is Patrick. Yeah. And that's my name.
Patrick, Patrick, Patrick." Oh man. And then they fall right out of the sky. "We're falling right out of the sky.
Different episode.
We gotta drop the load," but they like stop and briefly admire Atlantis. Pretty. And then they just keep falling. Yeah. So they're in this beautiful garden, and there's this giant castle, and they ring a bell, and a red carpet rolls out, and there's trumpets, and this guy comes out and welcomes them and then falls down every single stair. Just boop, 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 boop.
Every morning he breaks his legs. Every evening he breaks his arms.
I have glass bones.
Paper skin.
Some guys have all the luck.
It's so good. Oh, that would have been so funny if that guy was like the ruler of Atlantis. But no, we get this new guy, Lord Royal Highness, or LRH, who is played by David Bowie, as we said earlier. And he walks them in, and Plankton tries to sneak out of the bus. Or out of the van, but he's trapped. So he looks at the owner's manual, which says, "You are here," which is kind of stupid. But
because who else would need that?
And so we hear pretty quickly that Atlantis built sophisticated weaponry. So Plankton is intrigued, but Krabs wants to see the treasure. And this is where we get that Plankton line. No wonder they got lost. let's see. So I'm skipping over the patchy scene because nothing really happened there, but his radio broke. We hear that there's been no visitors to Atlantis in quite some time. And Mr. Krabs is upset that the streets aren't actually gold. So he wants to see what the light bulbs are made out of. And he stands on Squidward's neck, which is a pretty hilarious image because Squidward's neck was so stretched out and he's standing on it. But he smells something. And his pockets start barking. And they go into the first room, which is this room full of gold and treasure. And his pockets just start eating, which was really stupid. But Atlantis, we hear, abandon wealth to pursue knowledge. So they just keep all their wealth in this room. And Mr. Krabs, he sings a song about having pants with a ton of pockets, which... we already established that the first song was the best song, so it's not the greatest one, but
it is a good one. It is
what I do like about these songs is that they mix up the animation styles, so it's like,
yes,
he looks like he's in money. Visually, yeah, they were good songs. I did like that.
Yes, I concur.
And I like how he goes through a money press, which I feel like has to be a federal crime on some level, but they abandon wealth, kill you, so right? I don't think that's
Yeah,
but, he just says, "Well, I mean, it'll kill you."
Yeah, he wants to be made into money, and then he stays in that room as the rest of them leave. Which it just now hit me that this is like Willy Wonka. Like Augustus Gloop is here.
Oh, bro, yeah. I had this written down. I was going to bring it up. I was gonna be like, "Is this a Willy Wonka parody?"
I think so.
Because there's a song for everything, and then there's a bubble, the bubble at the end. Because remember, they mess things up, and there's bubbles.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Except here, they're staying behind for, like, good reasons and not because they, like, got stuck or blew up or anything like that.
And then there's, like, one really big name in the movie slash episode that, well, while I guess Gene Wilder sings a lot in Willy Wonka, but David Bowie doesn't. But, like, there's a big name in it to be the Willy Wonka, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. He was
David Bowie could have been a Willy Wonka. Yeah.
Hey, but Timothy, it's going to do great.
Oh, sure.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, he's from our generation.
What generation is that, Devin? What
young folks?
What generation are you? Just think a couple of young whippersnappers.
Exactly. That's our generation. Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like that Steve Buscemi meme. How are you doing, fellow children? Like he's got a skateboard in the back.
We're all in our 20s here, okay? We're young and hip.
True, that's true. So the next room they go to is a science room. And Sandy says, hopping acorns. Had to write down all of her southern sayings. But there's a device that turns household objects into ice cream. So he puts a comb in to demonstrate. And SpongeBob and Patrick eat it. And I figured they were going to say comb flavored, but it wasn't like they spit it out. Ugh, comb flavored. They were like, comb flavored.
Yeah.
I think what I'm thinking of is the glove. When they go to Glove World, he gets a glove candy. Ugh, glove flavored. I think I was confusing those two. Well,
glove flavor obviously is disgusting. Like that's just
comb?
Comb, yes. It's good for you.
You chew your combs?
It's got collagen in it.
And your comb is in the bathroom, which is not the greatest place to eat, but it's not the worst. I don't know, but
well, I mean, but how sanitary are the gloves at Glove World?
Oh,
they would have to be pretty clean, right? I mean,
it's an amusement park. Everything's disgusting. Yeah,
but then again, the Atlanteans don't have any hair, so that comb's never been used.
Yeah, what is that comb for? That's I guess it's just used to make ice cream. Yeah.
It's gotta be.
Yeah. No other use for it. I mean, I guess there's some like side hair. Like the kind of hair like when you got nothing on the roof, you know?
Yeah.
But you still got the walls up, you know what I mean?
Maybe the comb is for Patchy's beard and they just stole it from Patchy.
He drops it in the ocean.
Not make for good ice cream, I have to say.
Yeah. I love that his name is Patchy. You just think about that for like having a patchy beard, even though he doesn't. He's got a full beard.
Well, but I'm thinking more because of the eye patch that seems to switch sides. But, and we totally forgot this because for some reason we kind of skipped through Patchy's segment, which we can't do because those segments are too good.
I did mention the only thing that happened in it, which is his radio broke, but.
And Encino, California disappeared off the map.
No, it already had. We already talked about that. And then the second clip, it just was still not there anymore. Like it just.
I see what you mean. I see what you're talking about. My bad.
Yeah.
Well, I just forgot this. When it first happened, and he had those glasses on that were like double eye patches. But it was like
his
shades.
Eyes popped out. Yeah.
They popped out, but you could see both his eyes. So he don't need no eye patches, which I guess we've known for a while because we've seen him switch eyes. So
yeah,
it's really
like
aesthetic.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Like both his eyes popping out. Yeah. So there's a machine that turns people small to battle germs, and Patrick's like, or SpongeBob, you know, hey, cool, and he goes in there. Patrick's like, where'd SpongeBob go? And he rushes in to help. And Squidward wants to get out, but he pushes the same button. And so then they all land in this video game, which, again, like the different animation styles of this episode I did enjoy. But
super cool.
But it was a weird segment because a giant nose sneezes on them. And they did Squidward dirty here with this animation. He's just collapsing. He's just...
The sound effects for this segment are pretty good too.
Yeah.
But like my one question is why a human nose?
Good question.
It's a very human nose with very human boogers in it.
I mean, who knows, man? Who knows? Yes.
They have human art. I mean, they definitely understand human culture
fair enough.
In Atlantis. But yeah, so they it like turns into like a start screen. It's like Paramount 1991. But yeah, it's called the Germ Warrior. And
it had the what was the phrase? Mission start.
Yeah,
was in the style of the Street Fighter, like classic Street Fighter.
Yeah, I would know that.
You would know that.
The gamer that I am.
Indeed.
So Sandy sings the song about battling germs and being microscopic. And so that she gets left here, and they go, well, first we get Plankton singing about weapons, and we get this animation was like, it was like propaganda posters. It was like, this is kind of a dark section of the episode, but he's on a bunch of propaganda posters. And so then they go to the next room, which is art. And David Bowie asks, gentlemen, what is art? And Squidward says, art is the conscious arrangement of elements in a manner that affects a sense of beauty. Not even close. I love how he shut him down. But he gives SpongeBob a paintbrush, and SpongeBob paints a door, and they walk into the Hall of Arts, and Squidward's just crying, and LRH, as he said to call him, throws Squidward into a painting, and he's singing about being a work of art, and there's all these, like, there's a Van Gogh room and the Sistine Chapel and the melting clocks. And we see Squog. I got excited about that. There's SpongeGar, Patar, and Squog.
Yeah.
SpongeBob BC. Yes. He gets startled by this cave painting that starts singing to him. Yeah.
I just liked how they threw him in there like he was in Super Mario 64. Like, that was cool.
Yeah,
like
tossed
it even
him into the room.
It even like had the waves, the ripple waves in the painting, just like when you jump through a painting. Which again, Jep, you would know exactly.
I have seen
about
the Super Mario Brothers movie, so I'm an expert. No, I've played all those Mario Kart games at your house, you know, and
Mario Kart is not the same as Super Mario 64.
No, it's not. But I played, you know, Smash Bros at your house and Mario Kart, and
very effectively.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I'm better at Mario Kart than I am at Smash Bros. I'll at least give myself that.
Jep, do you put in the work on Smash Bros?
I'm absolutely terrible.
Jep, there is there's actually a Nickelodeon side scroll, like side scroller beat 'em up, mm-hmm. like Smash Bros. Are you familiar with this?
No, I'm not.
It's called Nickelodeon All-Stars, and there's a sequel coming out, but they've got like SpongeBob, Patrick, Aang,
oh, you gotta be the
Ninja
Avatar
Turtles.
Oh, well, they're good too. Danny Phantom.
Danny Phantom
good.
Is in it. Yes.
Jenny from My Life as a Teenage Robot.
Ooh, she's not. I don't think she's in the first one, but she might end up in the second one.
Okay, yeah.
But they've got to balance it out, so it's not like, you know, Aang is just soloing everyone.
Yeah.
But
they have Korra in it, which is a strange choice from Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
But I saw a few weeks ago an announcement trailer for the second one, and one of the new characters and that character is Squidward.
Yes.
His nose just spins right now. I don't know.
I would like to see him use some of the effects that were used in this episode. Like getting Patrick as a throwing star, or picking up ammunition with Squidward's tentacles and just
those were good. Yeah, we will get there. Those were good. But so Squidward poses for paintings while everybody else leaves, and his pose is so stupid. Pose. He just throws. He has one tentacle up in the air, and he's like straightforward otherwise. It was very funny. He could have posed anyway, and he did that. But so it's just SpongeBob and Patrick left. And so one of them is going to inherit the chocolate factory. And the bubble. They see the bubble, and it is super old. because it was carried from their home planet and it's their most treasured ancient relic. And most importantly, remember to have fun.
Does this make Patrick Grandpa Charlie? I mean, Grandpa, whatever his name is.
Grandpa George?
George! Thank you.
Okay.
And there was Grandma Georgina.
Yeah, oh, he's also gosh. Watching Willy Wonka on another computer. He's got Atlantis Corpantis playing. LRH leaves them to go do some errands and just leaves them with their most prized possession. And he's even commenting on, I'll leave you strangers with our most valuable possession. And so they immediately fail because they push over the case that it's in and the case rolls and it lands on SpongeBob and they get it back. And he's like, ooh, that would have been our greatest blunder ever without a doubt. And they take a picture of it. They take like a selfie because they're like in front of it. Cheese, yep. Pop. Patrick, did you hear something? They're still smiling. Patrick, did you hear something? Yeah, sort of popping sound. They turn around and they just melt off their skeletons. Yeah. So it cuts to like this dining hall where LRH is eating with the other three. And Squidward shows, he's like, wow, I've learned so much art. I used to paint like this. And it's like this painting with like canned bread. more like belongs in the trash.
Yeah. Old and brash.
And Krabs is just speaking complete gibberish while drooling over his money. And Sandy she made an invention that eats for her without her having to take her helmet off. And SpongeBob and Patrick come in, they're all nervous and sweaty. And
these weeks, arms are heavy.
There's mom and already mom's spaghetti. So they tell Squidward, like, we got to go home. Gary misses me. And it cuts to Gary just throwing a huge party.
I'm glad that they covered that because yeah. Gary does need to be taken care of. We have to remember that Gary will leave. He's not just stuck there. If he's
in
not
the last episode, he left. Yeah. But there's another episode, I think, when they're on the clam boat. I got to go home to feed Gary. And it comes to him having eaten half the couch.
Gary's pretty, you would think Gary would be more self-sufficient at this point.
Yeah.
I think it was the emotional abuse.
He's smart, yeah. So Patrick just blurts out, we destroyed our most prized possession. And so LRH is, he's like, I like some good dark humor. Like, no, that wasn't humor. We actually destroyed it. Oh, that's not the real bubble. That's just a prop for the tourists. This is the real bubble. Click, pop.
Which this episode has made me think, like, are bubbles just that sensitive to light? Because, I mean, bubbles are going to last long enough to take a picture, right? But if you have the flash on, is that what make the bubbles pop?
Well, you see, underwater, the light particle, I have no clue. Right?
I love that you actually tried.
Yeah, the light particles hit the water and it refracts. And no, that's all I can.
It was giving Stanley Hudson of like, well, first you take the bubble and then you fill it up with this and then you shove it up your butt.
You got to unleash the power of the pyramid. Oh, man, we can go down an office tangent. But anyways, so the Atlantean Royal Guard gets called in. And they look like those little beans that used to be like toys that would like roll down a little roller coaster. Ooh. That you can buy.
Oh yeah.
Those things. What were they called? I forgot. I should have looked up stuff, but I didn't.
Yeah, do better, Jeff.
Come on, man. Do more research.
Yeah, you did do a lot of research. I will give that. You watched it multiple times. You have it up right now. So
Sandy, probably the most prepared guest we've ever had.
I try.
Yeah. Tommy had like legal argument. He was like, oh, well, you know, and this law says you can't do this.
Yeah. But, and Jay Lender was in the studio. And so was Tobias Krebs.
The episodes but, we were you know, talking about. Whatever. Yeah.
But no one is more prepared.
Yeah. Sandy's pushing them. They're like moving out and Sandy's pushing them. Can't you go a little faster, Sandy? Well, maybe if I'll use your feet, and it cuts down to their feet just dragging. Never mind, just keep doing what you're doing. So stupid. But then we get what we just referenced, which is Sandy using Patrick as a throwing star, using SpongeBob as a shield, using Squidward as a gun, using Mr. Krabs' claws. Just she puts them to good use. But it's not good enough for a tank, because Plankton has a tank outside.
It's we'll get to what happens, and then I'll share my thoughts. And I'll share my thoughts about that.
Okay. So you know, patchy, there's no water, there's vultures, et cetera, et cetera. And then Plankton has a tank. They're getting back to the action. Plankton, he tells them to bow before the new king of Atlantis. And he can't push the button because he's microscopic, but he throws a rock at it. He could lift the rock, I guess. I don't know. But then he finally deploys the launch sequence and ice cream shoots out. It shoots ice cream.
Nope.
And he gets out and tries to kick it. Yeah.
So the conflict of the episode wraps up with no effort whatsoever, except from Sandy. She's the only one that really does anything.
That's true.
She gets them out of there. But if the tank shot actual ammunition, Plankton would have won.
Yeah.
They would have won, no questions asked.
I will give them that they did set up the idea of machines turning things into ice cream earlier.
They did, but if that was the concern, why would they put the tank behind the locked door with all the other weaponry?
That's true. Mm.
Like, they made a big deal. Like, they like gave up their weapons and tools of war so that we could live a life of peace. And
well,
so, yeah.
I mean, you know, if somebody had gotten their hands on them, or their stubby tiny fingerprints, you know, that could have been dairy bad for Bikini Bottom.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. That's from the movie. And then also I think this was a reference to the SpongeBob movie, or maybe it's just Plankton yells it out a lot, but as he gets caught, "I will destroy all of you," which is what he yells at the end
of the
SpongeBob movie when he gets taken to jail.
Another possible reference, or at least that's where my mind went to when they're first eating the ice cream and it's comb flavored. The music in the background is like, sounds like kind of parlor music, which reminded me of the Goofy Goober parlor where they're eating all that ice cream.
Yeah.
So maybe so.
Yeah. I don't know if he's in charge of the Krusty Krab too or not, but that mysteriously disappeared. But
it's only open on Tuesday.
And he should be at work. Yeah. So they replace this was a stretch right here. They replace their legendary oldest bubble that ever lived with Plankton because he's a talking speck.
And he said it was so much better than some old bubble.
Yeah. And all the Atlanteans are taking pictures. It says no flash photography.
They learned the last time they allowed flash photography on their relic, it got destroyed.
They should lessons try learned. To destroy Plankton because he just said he would destroy all of them. I don't know.
They gave up war, Jep. An eye That's for true. An eye makes Plankton go blind.
I don't care. Yeah.
So, I have a single-celled org. Oh, man, that daggum musical. Sorry, I thought of a line from the musical, not
you
an episode.
It. Yeah, that's T.I. song from Plankton. Yeah. But
stupid, making me like stupid things so like that.
So they leave. Do come back anytime. And he slams the door. Please dispose of this coin quickly. We can't survive any more visitors like these. But he waves them off on good terms, I guess. And he's like, I thought sponges were supposed to make life easier. And SpongeBob sings about leaving Atlantis. And Bikini Bottom is the greatest place he knows, but everybody else wants to stay. Squidward says, "This is the end of our vacation and back to my depressing life of quiet desperation."
what was what I had? Oh, man, I don't even... Did I not write it down? Oh, I thought I wrote one down. Sorry, guys. There was a line that I also really liked.
Squidward continues to be the most relatable character in all of SpongeBob.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Squidward, no, I did write it down. Patrick, his line, he said, I think it was like, Atlantis had the oldest bubble that I cruelly destroyed or something like that. I was like, wow, whoa, Patrick.
He's self-aware. He cruelly destroyed it, yeah.
He's like Sky.
So, and then Patchy finds a small Encino, California, and these three-eyed aliens tell him that it was their kid with the Shrinkatron, and they unshrink it, and then Potty is giant. He steps on him. And that's the end of the episode. I breezed through that that segment.
I feel like there's something you're missing from that ending segment. What is it? How did you say they came back?
They unshrunk it, right? The three-eyed aliens.
Oh, the three-eyed aliens. Okay, cool. I missed the part where you said the aliens. I think I was reading my notes.
Yeah.
My in-depth notes from the Patchy segment.
Yeah. So what is the best quote from this episode, anybody?
Anybody.
And I look through my notes.
Okay, so this isn't necessarily a funny line. It was funny when he following the fact that he just told Squidward that he was wrong about his definition of art. But this is just really sweet. It was like, art is what happens when you dare to dream. David Bowie.
That was a David Bowie line, yeah.
That's really good.
Someone definitely posted that on Instagram after David Bowie died. It was like, it's so inspirational. And they were like, and they had no idea it was from SpongeBob.
That's awesome.
You know somebody did that.
Oh, yeah. Quarter Wit was pretty good.
Quarter Wit, yeah.
I'd say Quarter Wit is probably my favorite line of the episode because it is pretty good.
Yeah. My favorite line to read was, well, holly wally ding dang do. Let's see, there's I'm Patrick.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Squidward.
This isn't necessarily a line, but I did really love how when Patchy realizes that he's hallucinating is when the ice cream drops from his cone onto the ground and he just stares at it like his life just ended.
Yeah. Oh, man. I tried to breeze over that, but that did happen.
You better give Patchy the pirate. Patchy, Jeff? Give him the respect he deserves.
No, he was good.
He deserves his roses.
That's true. I mean, it is Tom Kenny, so I definitely like him, but
no, it's Patchy the pirate.
I mean, okay.
He's his own thing.
SpongeBob is a documentary.
Nature documentary.
All right, so let's see. I'll start with you, Sam. How many world's oldest bubbles out of five would you give this episode?
A solid.
And you can use decimals if you need them.
You know, I'd say four, but Patrick destroyed one of them. So
four, yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to have to give it a three, a solid three out of five.
Okay, so you're going like 2.5 is like probably average, right? I think we have a little bit of like grade inflation on ours because we are like a 3.5. It's like, oh, what was wrong with it? Like, yeah.
That's so true. That is so true.
Yeah. Well, like if you're comparing it to episodes before it, then it's definitely lower quality than those.
Yeah.
However, what gives it a boost is the animation is really, really good for this episode. Yeah. Like we talked about it a few times, like Mr. Krabs' song when he goes into the money press and he changes into money, or one of my favorite scenes always was when I was younger was when Squidward goes to the painting and they go through all these classic paintings over time and he's in the form of those paintings. I really enjoy
that was cool.
It was a really cool concept. So, yeah, but again, if you're comparing it to, you know, episodes that came before this, can't really compare as well.
Yeah. Do you have a rating system for Devin?
Oh, okay, Devin.
That's
Let's see. I can't think of anything other than Dusty Bubbles. Dusty Bubbles. How many lost cities out of five would you give this episode?
It's giving.
Okay. you know one Gen Z phrase.
I know a lot of Gen Z phrases. My career is Gen
that's
Z.
That's true. You do work with Gen Zers, but that's because you're older than them and you are like, you know,
I am.
You're in charge of the, you know.
I'm good with all ages, Jeff. Yeah. I'll give you that. I'm a man of rage.
A man of rage. Freudian slip there.
Yeah. I would like to rage. Yeah, I'm raging because you're calling me old. Oh man. All right, back on track. Let's see. Lost cities. I'm gonna give it a 3.3. Lost cities. I will say, to Sam's point, yes, the animation was great. I love the different styles. And I loved, like, you know, as we talked about it being a Wonka parody, like that was a lot of fun. Let's see what else. I mean, just the fact that they had David Bowie, like that's wild.
Yeah.
And it was just like cool, like having an hour long special. So that's pretty cool. But some dings against it. Patchy. I was trying to think if I had something else to go with that, but I'll just stick with
Patchy.
There's
more than that, yeah. But...
No, I mean, he was a bit superfluous. And then the songs. They just ain't hit, man. They didn't hit.
Yeah, once you hear that SpongeBob musical,
musical. Yeah, Squidward saying, "I'm not a loser." Like that. Wow. That's music. Wow. In the way, the Dope is like... I'm not even going to get into that. We'll talk about that later. I may have listened to that song a few times. It may be in a musicals playlist that I have. But the songs just didn't hit for me, man. They just, like, it was a whole episode of songs. And it just didn't. I feel like, was it Randy Jackson from the original American Idol? It's like, That's a no for me, dog. That's a no for me. So, yeah, that's a me. All right, Jephthah, how many ice cream tanks out of five do you give this episode?
Yeah, I'm thinking around right where you were, like 3.2 out of five. I think that A for effort. Like 5 out of 5 for effort. The fact that they brought in Atlantis for the first time, I think, in SpongeBob history, and then had an hour long, had David Bowie, had like cool new character designs, had songs, different animation. Yeah. But the
a video game tie-in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I liked it.
Of course.
But so like 5 out of 5 for effort, but the execution, it's like the humor wasn't quite there compared to other SpongeBob episodes, and the music and the plot mechanics we talked about there at the end. Didn't quite hit what they were thinking, I think, but I like that it exists. I like the just what they were trying to go for. You can see it there. So yeah, like 3.2 out of 5, but I had a lot of fun talking about it. So 5 out of 5 for the Barnacles episode. I give all Barnacles episodes 5 out of 5, though. But we should go back and listen to Barnacles episodes and then rate them.
Oh boy.
No, that would be.
Oh, Jeff, that sounds like
Jeff,
a nightmare.
The next time you come into see me, Terrell, and Charles, we'll have Barnacles episodes playing and we'll rate them in front of you.
Oh, no. This was fun. So absolutely, thanks for being on, man. Sam.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was very fun.
Yeah. And we will see y'all again next week with a different episode that we have not decided yet, but it'll be a surprise. So.
Yeah. And in the words of the young, cool people, peace up, Atlantis down.
A-Town, peace out.
Barnacles with Jep and Devin is a production of Jep and Devin. Thank you for listening. We've reviewed all the classic SpongeBob episodes, so feel free to go back and listen to us talk about some of your favorites. If you would like to be on the show or have any other questions for us, you can send us a voice message on Spotify. Also, please follow us, rate, and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And remember, with imagination, you can be anything you want. See you next time.